They're all repeats. 8 o'clock FBI, 9 o'clock FBI International, 10 o'clock FBI Most Wanted. ABC, let's see. At 8 o'clock is A New Family Feud, Decades of Laughs. 9 o'clock, A New Celebrity Family Feud. 10 o'clock is a repeat of Celebrity Family Feud. NBC, these are all new. 8 o'clock, a two-hour America's Got Talent. 10 o'clock is Password. Fox 61 is all new. 8 o'clock is Beat Shazam. 9 o'clock, The Quiz with Balls. 10 o'clock is Fox 61 News at 10. And PBS at 8 is Fighting for Home. That's a repeat. 9 o'clock is American Experience, The Boys of 36. That's a repeat. And then 10 o'clock is a premiere of a new show. It's VOCES. I don't know if that stands, if that's an acronym or if it's a word. VOCES. CW, these are all repeats. 8, 8:30, 9, 9:30 is Connors. And then 10 and 10:30 are Friends. And A&E. 8 and 8:30, repeats of Neighborhood Wars. 9 and 9:30, new Neighborhood Wars. 10 and 10:30, new Customer Wars. AMC, 5:30, Major League 2 from 1994, comedy. Tom Berenger, Charlie Sheen. 8 o'clock, Police Academy, 1984, comedy. Kim Cattrall, Steve Guttenberg. 10:15, Police Academy 2, their first. Oh, their first assignment, 1985 comedy, Steve Guttenberg. 12:15, Vegas Vacation, 1997, starring Chevy Chase. Animal Planet. 8 and 10 are repeats of Wardens of the North. 9 o'clock is a repeat of Michigan Wardens. Discovery Channel at 8. This is Shark Week. So at 8 is Deadliest Bite. 9 o'clock, 6,000-pound shark. 10 o'clock, Monster Hammerheads. Freeform at 7 is the movie Castaway, 2000, drama, starring Helen Hunt, Tom Hanks. 10 o'clock is a brand new show called Sarah Reed and the Midnight Order, and that starts tonight at 10 o'clock. FX at 5:30 is the movie Uncharted 2022 adventure movie starring Tom Holland. 8 o'clock, Jumanji, The Next Level from 2019, Kevin Hart, Jack Black, Dwayne Johnson. And then at 10:30, that same Jumanji movie is repeated. Hallmark Channel at 7 is A Christmas Cookie Catastrophe from 2022. Romance, Victor Webster, Stephanie Sy, Rachel Boston. 9 o'clock, The Sweetest Christmas from 2017. Romance, starring Jonathan Adams, Lacey Chabert. Hallmark Movies and Mysteries at 7 is an Aurora Tea Garden mystery. This one's called Last Seen Alive. Seen is spelled S-C-E-N-E, and that's from 2018. 9 o'clock is another Aurora Tea Garden mystery from 2018. This one's called Reap What You Sow, and sow is spelled S-E-W. History Channel at 8 is a repeat of Skinwalker Ranch. 9 is a new Skinwalker Ranch. 10 o'clock is a new Beyond Skinwalker Ranch. Sci-fi, 6:35. The Perfect Storm from 2000. Thriller, Mark Wahlberg, George Clooney. 9:30, Deepwater Horizon, 2016 thriller, Kurt Russell, Mark Wahlberg. Turner Classic Movies, 6:15, Them, 1954 sci-fi, starring James Whitmore. 8 o'clock, A Fistful of Dollars, 1964 Western, starring Clint Eastwood. 10 o'clock, For a Few Dollars More, 1965 Western, starring Clint Eastwood. And I'll move on to the late night talk shows. They're all brand new today. ABC, 11:35, Jimmy Kimmel Live. He has Peyton Manning, Emma Roberts, The War and the Treaty. Oh, and there's a guest host, Katherine Hahn. NBC, 11:34, Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. He has Rita Ora, Hannah Berner. CBS, 11:30, Late Show with Stephen Colbert. He has Serena Williams, Andrew McCarthy, NBC 1237 Late Night with Seth Meyers. He has Rashida Jones, Anthony Starr, Julia Phillips, Kate Schellenbach. CBS 1237 After Midnight with Taylor Tomlinson. She has Colton Dunn, Jason Sklar, and Randy Sklar. Bravo at 10 o'clock. Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen. He has Hoda Kotb and Savannah Guthrie. Comedy Channel, 11 o'clock. The Daily Show with guest hosts Jordan Klepper and Desi Leidick. And they have Asif Mandvi as their guest. And I'll move on to Ask Eric. And the first letter, Dear Eric, I am a 50-year-old technology worker. My boss is in her early 40s. She has made comments about coworkers in their 60s who she says should retire. Needless to say, I'm not too far behind those folks in age. I get Botox and filler. I color my hair, diet, exercise, and keep up on all the latest technology. However, like everyone who isn't a vampire, I'm aging. I've had some health issues, and I will need to work until I'm at least 65 to pay for my health insurance and medications. The earliest I could even receive Social Security is still 12 years away. I feel anxious about losing my job because I'm too old. Widespread ageism is common in the tech industry where youth is highly celebrated. It's not just my boss. Is there a way to remind people that age is not a topic that should come up in the workplace unless it is specifically related to succession or retirement planning? Do I just let it go? Signed, No More Age Talk. And he says, Dear age, you don't have to let it go. What you're experiencing isn't fair and may cross a legal line. I reached out to human resources expert Hannah Marks, a people and talent advisor at Culture Marks, for guidance. As a first step for my employees experiencing ageism in the workplace, she said, it is key to maintain documentation of any and all instances. From there, it's always a good idea to flag the situation to your HR team. If the company is too small and doesn't yet have an HR team, often the case in tech, bringing this up to a manager or senior leader is another good option. In more severe cases or when HR or senior leadership has failed to appropriately address the situation, employees have the right to seek legal counsel. You have resources, even if the culture of your workplace suggests otherwise. The Age Discrimination in Employment Act specifically forbids age discrimination against people who are age 40 or older. If you want to learn more about the law and your options for reporting, I'd encourage you to visit the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission's website. They have a section dedicated to age discrimination and ways to combat it. Lastly, any boss who would rather put older employees out to pasture than benefit from their experience is going to have a rude awakening in a few years. And the next letter, Dear Eric, I have a cousin who told me that he is in love with a woman in a foreign country and plans to get married. He would have to fly over to her country and get married, leaving behind his son, grandson, and mother, who is in a nursing home. He has never actually met this woman, and I'm concerned that the whole thing is a scam. I found out the country is one where foreigners can't have any property in their name, so anything he would buy would be only in her name. What should I say to him? I don't want to crush him. Signed, Concerned Cousin. Dear cousin, you're right to be concerned. Romance scams are common. Often they start online with the scammers professing love quickly, suddenly needing money and then vanishing. It's a huge red flag that your cousin's relationship requires him to leave the country and get married. I know you don't want to crush him, but he could be in real danger, and a bruised heart is the better option. First, be upfront about your concerns and your reasons. Use the FBI romance scam section to walk your cousin through any similarities in his life. Ask him for photos of his fiancée and do a reverse image search using Google or another search engine to see if they're stock photos or if they're associated with another person. Ask him to talk you through his plan for his family, his mother's care, and his plan after getting married. be probing but kind. Loneliness is a major problem for many adults, especially as we get older. Assure him that he's not wrong for wanting companionship. Tell him that if this is a scam, it doesn't mean he's not worthy of love in real life. Remind him that he's not alone. According to the Federal Trade Commission, there were more than 64,000 reported romance scams in 2023, raking in $1.14 billion. These numbers don't take into account the personal turmoil that can result. Ask your cousin to slow down the relationship for his safety and that of his family. If he's insistent, you can also report the suspected fraud to the FTC or the FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Center. And I'll move on to the horoscopes. Aries, March 21st, April 19th. Seemingly stable ground could be shakier than it looks. You might notice that impulsive decision-making puts you in risky positions. Instead of immediately trying to remedy what happened, do your best to fall back for a moment and figure out what went wrong. Taurus, April 20th to May 20th. You may feel like there's no way around your feelings. Translating your heart into words and explaining yourself to others can be cumbersome. You know how you're feeling, but others might not truly get it. If venting to trusted friends doesn't work, try to build closure. Gemini, May 21st to June 20th. Meanings might get lost in your words. Be wary of rambling or getting tangled in confusing language when talking to others. Think about what you're going to say for a second before you say it. If there are a bunch of unnecessary details, hit that thought with the edit button. Cancer, June 21st, July 22nd. The feelings of others could affect you strongly. You might be picking up the energy from a friend or a family member whose souls are particularly turbulent. Your thoughts could get lost in theirs if you're not paying attention. Don't forget that you do not have to feel the same way that they do. Leo, July 23rd, August 22nd. Your responsibilities could be throwing you for a loop. It might seem like there's just too much on your plate. Once you start to crunch the numbers and put it all down on paper, you'll realize that you can separate your tasks into bite-sized chunks and plausibly get them all done. Virgo, August 23rd, September 22nd. What you're learning might not quite be sinking in. The current angle of the learning curve is a real doozy, and you're struggling to make yourself keep going. Brace yourself for some travel struggles, too. Ask for help, and don't be embarrassed to ask them to explain it again. Libra, September 23rd, October 22nd. The truth will come to light, probably sooner than later. These truths aren't necessarily life-shattering secrets, but you may need a moment to catch your breath after learning the juicy details. The social territory could be confusing to navigate. Follow your intuition. Scorpio, October 23rd, November 21st. Someone may drop an astonishing opportunity. While taking advantage of their offer could benefit you greatly, it will potentially require you to be the center of attention. You're allowed to be intimidated. There's probably no hiding how you feel, but don't let that stop you. If you want this, then go for it. Sagittarius, November 22nd to December 21st. Shocking revelations may change your feelings about someone. You may have thought that this person was your friend, but now you might think twice. This process is not simple. You may want to try to see past the bad behavior. However, it might be wiser to just move on. Capricorn, December 22nd to January 19th. Passion has its place, but you're currently close to being hazardously intense. A surprising event connected to a person or cause that's dear to you may cause you to act out a character. Be wary of kicking off chaos that accidentally damages whoever or whatever you care about. Aquarius, January 20th to February 18th. Your feelings may be hurt by someone you weren't expecting to wound you. They probably didn't mean to hurt you. If your communication with each other is strong, then you should be able to work through this. Look for a healthy way to tell them how you're feeling. And Pisces, February 19th to March 20th. A lack of planning could create stress. You may have assumed that you had done the preparation that you needed to for a project, but you might realize that you're missing a key component. Instead of worrying or wasting time procrastinating, make a point of getting ready ahead of time. And right now it's time for our break, so I'll be back with more of the back pages following this message.
As people age, it gets tougher to be physically active. Finding ways to exercise on a regular basis is important for maintaining good health. More than one in four U.S. adults 50 and older are physically inactive. For those with certain chronic conditions, the percentage is much higher. Older adults can alleviate the severity of some conditions and delay the onset of others by staying active. Any activity, from gardening and household chores to walking and swimming, can be beneficial. If you suffer from a chronic condition, check with your healthcare provider about a regimen that's safe and helpful for you. Thank you for joining us on A Minute of Health with CDC.
For the most accurate health information, visit cdc.gov or call 1-800-CDC-INFO.
Welcome back to the back pages. I'll move on to the celebrity column. Willem Dafoe to lead Banal Department. Actor Willem Dafoe, a frequent red carpet visitor to the Venice International Film Festival in Italy, on Monday was named Artistic Director of the Venice Banal Theater Department. Dafoe, who lives near Rome with his Italian wife, said the appointment came as a surprise, but that he was born in the theater and trained initially as a stage actor. In a statement released, Dafoe said the program of his two-year 2025 to 2026 term would follow his own development, a sort of exploration of the essence of the body. Dafoe founded the Worcester Group Theater Company in 1977 in New York and performed with it for some 20 years. He's more widely known for his film career, including as the scientist opposite Emma Stone's Bella in Yorgos Lanthimos's movie called Poor Things, which won the Golden Lion at the Venice Film Festival last year. He is expected on the Lido this summer with the cast of Tim Burton's Beetlejuice, which is opening the film festival in August. The Banal Teatro, an independent department of La Banal, founded in 1934. And Hudgens welcomes first baby. Actor Vanessa Hudgens confirmed the birth of her first child while chastising paparazzi for photographing her and her husband, Cole Tucker, as they left the hospital last week with their newborn. Hudgens, 35, didn't mince words as she confirmed the news in an Instagram story. "We're disappointed that our family's privacy was disrespected and exploited during this special time due to the greed of a long-lens camera feeding the media. Despite all of that, Mom, Dad, and baby are happy and healthy." Hudgens' remark come after TMZ published snaps Wednesday of a nurse wheeling her and her baby out of the hospital with Tucker, 28, following behind. The pair, who wed in December, did not confirm on what day they welcomed their child, nor did they reveal the baby's sex or name. And Despicable Me 4 lights up box office. After a historically bad first half of the year, the box office is suddenly booming. Despicable Me 4, the Illumination animation sequel, led the way over the holiday weekend with $75 million in ticket sales Friday through Sunday, and $122.6 million since opening on Wednesday, according to studio estimates Sunday. Despicable Me 4 performed strongly despite the still considerable drawing power of Inside Out 2. In its fourth weekend of release, the Pixar sequel was second on the box office, adding another $30 million domestically and $78.3 million overseas, for a total of $1.22 billion in ticket sales thus far. Last week's top new film, called A Quiet Place, Day One, slid to third with $21 million in its second weekend, with another $21.1 million overseas. And some of today's celebrity July 9th birthdays. Singer Dolores Dee Dee Kenny Brew is 79. Actor Chris Cooper, 73. Businessman Kevin O'Leary, 70. Singer Debbie Sledge, 70. Actor Jimmy Smith, 69. Actor Tom Hanks, 68. Actor Kelly McGillis is 67. Singer Courtney Love is 60. Actor Pamela Adlon is 58. Musician Jack White, 49. Actor Fred Savage is 48. And there was an Ask Matt column in the TV Guide, so I'll read that now. And the question is, I still can't believe CBS canceled NCIS Hawaii. They could have had an all-NCIS night with the mothership, Origins, and Sydney in the fall. And then once Sydney finished its run, Hawaii would take its place in the spring. Why not? And Matt answers, I'm someone who believes variety is what is lacking most on broadcast network TV during a period when entire nights are swallowed up by franchises. Which is to say that I'm okay with the current mix of comedies and drama on CBS's Monday night lineup. But to address your question in the spirit of an obvious superfan, my explanation is more economic than creative. The future of CBS's parent company has been in question for some time, and keeping all of these versions of NCIS going was apparently not in the cards. I'm as surprised as anyone that NCIS Hawaii only lasted 3 seasons. I'd be surprised if the network didn't consider a full night of NCIS action, given the way the industry is going, though CBS has always seemed inclined to spread the wealth to other nights, which is why the Sydney spinoff is currently scheduled to move into the Friday lineup once Blue Bloods finishes its final run at mid-season. And there's cheers and jeers that were in the TV Guide. And I'll read the cheers first. Cheers to Anne Rice's interview with the vampire for a perfect second season. Honestly, if you haven't sunk your teeth into American Movie Classic's majestic adaptation of Rice's gothic novel, starring Jacob Anderson and Sam Reed, you are undead to us. And cheers to Criminal Minds Evolution for expanding the BA universe. The ex-CBS procedural is bigger, better, and bloodier since moving to Paramount Plus, where the team must rely on unlikely allies like informant Tyler Green, played by Ryan James Hatanaka, and killer Elias Voight, played by Zach Guilford. And here's the jeers. Jeers to anyone still sleeping on Shudder. It's chilling how many people don't know about the horror-centric streamer, which is killing it with a library of hits, obscure gems, the Fab Creepshow series, and indies for every level of scare. Their In Search of Darkness Fright Fest docuseries is worth the $5.99 per month subscription alone, but you probably shouldn't watch alone. And jeers to ABC for failing Abbott Elementary. Whoever decided to schedule Quinta Brunson's A-plus comedy as the network's only scripted show on Wednesday nights this fall, following a lead-in from The Golden Bachelor, needs to get sent to the principal's office immediately. You should be surrounding this Emmy winner with other great comedies. That's well, elementary. And there was a article in The Current the other day. Record-breaking summer may be more painful for those with migraines. This is by Hunter Boyce. As temperatures break records across the U.S., so will cases of migraines. That's the latest from a recent study by the University of Cincinnati College of Medicine researchers. With global temperatures more than 2 degrees warmer than the 20th century average, last year was Earth's hottest on record. And May 2024 was a record-breaking month, marking the 12th consecutive month of record-high temperatures. According to Dr. Vincent Martin, director of the Headache and Facial Pain Center at University of Cincinnati, and lead author of the study entitled Weather Change is One of the Most Common Trigger Factors for Migraine. The study tested the efficacy of a new preventive treatment for headaches caused by rising temperatures by cross-referencing regional weather data with 71,000 daily diary records of 6,000 migraine patients. Researchers discovered a 6% increase in headache occurrences for every 10 degrees the temperature rose. What he found was that increases in temperature were a significant factor in migraine occurrence across all regions of the U.S. Migraines affect at least 39 million Americans. The headache disorder as a whole affect 3.1 billion people around the world as of 2021. Migraines are characterized by severe throbbing pain caused by the activation of nerve fibers within the wall of brain blood vessels. Left untreated, attacks can last several hours or even days. Those with the condition often experience sensitivity to light, noise, and odors, as well as nausea and vomiting. Among the many migraine triggers, which range from hangovers to skipping meals, the Institute said a sudden change in weather is a common culprit. Hippocrates, the father of medicine, believed that weather and medicine were intimately linked, said former Department of Agriculture chief meteorologist and study co-author Al Petterlin. And let's see. I'll read some book reviews here. We got fiction reviews. This book is called Parade by Rachel Cusk, C-U-S-K. With her new novel called Parade, Rachel Cusk returns with a searching look at the pain artists can capture and inflict. Never centered on a single person or place, the book ushers in a series of painters, sculptors, and other figures, each grappling with a transformation in their life or work. Through her characters, Cusk shows us that art can be the site of violence and also at times the only medium through which to save oneself from it. And the next is, the book is called You Are Here by David Nichols. David Nichols is riding a wave of popularity thanks to the Netflix series based on his 2009 blockbuster called One Day. The publication of his sixth novel called You Are Here should see the Booker Prize long-listed author garnering more acclaim, and deservedly so, for it is a warm, witty, and beautifully observed tale about two lonely souls experiencing a new lease on life and possibly finding romance while traversing England's green and pleasant land. Nichols' novel offers many delights. The English landscape is vividly rendered, and the dialogue crackles. You Are Here lacks the agonies and ecstasies of Nichols' previous books. However, Nichols still manages to inject drama and pathos into the proceedings, and ensures that we are so invested in his characters that we follow them every step of the way. And again, the first book I read, the review was called Parade by Rachel Cusk, C-U-S-K, and the second book was called You Are Here by David Nichols, and his last name is N-I-C-H-O-L-L-S. Okay, let's see, a nonfiction review. This one, We Refuse by Kelly Carter Jackson. An analysis of the myriad ways black people have resisted white supremacy, We Refuse is illuminating, informative, and ultimately helpful. Carter Jackson, an associate professor, divides the book into five parts, each of which explores successful tactics black individuals and communities have used to resist white domination, revolution, protection, force, flight, and joy. Okay, I will leave you with the thought for today. Think of all the good moments of this day and keep a smile for tomorrow. Well, that's the way it went on the back pages. I'm Chris Mabey, and so long until next time.